on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare,
with a serious spin, whether it be sports, faith, parenting,
balance, relationships, education, community, coaching,
starting over, how do you reboot yourself,
ministry, relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in, ask us questions, be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1.
You are listening to Conversations with Jackie and Karen, and today we're going to be talking about what does it take to live and fulfill your dreams. Today we have two amazing guests that will be joining us for a half hour each, because you, our listening audience, want to make sure you don't miss a thing. Joining us at the top of our hour is Dr. Roslyn L. Tompkins. Now, Dr. Tompkins hails from the DMV, and we are excited that she is joining us today. Dr. Tompkins, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. I am excited to learn a little bit more about you and what are you doing to help people fulfill and live their dreams.
Well, I have been working very tirelessly for the past two decades of my life, trying to help women and families in particular who are overcoming drug and alcohol addiction. And that's in the North Florida, South Georgia area where I am from. And one of the things that I realized early on, even in my own life, because I'm currently in recovery now for over 25 years, and I give God all the glory for that. But I realized early on that your dreams can turn into nightmares. And once that happens, you need some type of help, some type of intervention, some type of coaching to get you out of that dark place. So that's basically through my ministry of Mothers in Crisis, and then also through my church, Turning Point International Church.
Well, that is wonderful. You've hit on several topics that I definitely want to delve into today, because what we find often when dealing with people is that they don't have an avenue or an advocate to turn to. Now, you've mentioned for over 25 years you've been doing this. You've seen yourself go through the recovery process. But during that time, you've also become a doctor. You are a book author. You have an established platform for ministry and for helping leading women and others. Can you talk a little bit about your turning point?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I'm so excited for you to ask me about that, because it leads into my latest book that is soon to come out, and the title is What Is It? What Is It? And it's all about defining, finding, and obtaining your it. So in the book, I share how once I got clean from the drugs and alcohol through deliverance, I give Jesus all the credit for that, and I began my journey of wholeness, there was something on the inside of me that I had to do, and it was that it. It was my passion and my purpose, and I began a journey to find it, to find out, okay, what is it that I'm to do now that I'm getting clean and sober? It's not just about, you know, you don't go through all that hell just for nothing, you know. You come out
that
with some keys, just like, you know, keys to help unlock others. And basically, that's what I talk about in the book, What Is It? And that's the process that happened in my life. And that is the process that we have to go through, no matter what the crisis may be, no matter what happens in your life from the time you're born until whatever age you may be, there's always purpose. There's always that destiny. It's always that crying on the inside of you, just wanting to come out and to become all that God has created you to be. And so basically, that's what you see now. It's that I took all of that passion that I had on the other side, and I just flipped it over, and I said, okay, God, it's me and you. What do you want to do? And I allowed that drive and that anointing that God gives you, that hunger and thirst to turn around and then help others.
Dr. Tompkins, this is Karen. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, in addition to that it, What can you perhaps share with our listeners to drive through or yield through the process of dealing and grappling with the pain that often is attributed to what drives folks to alcoholism or prescription drugs or other types of things that
have to be overcome.
Yeah, they have to overcome no matter what it is. It doesn't have to be a drug or an alcohol.
Sex addiction, drug addiction, relationship addiction, there's an addiction.
Exactly.
That someone needs to overcome.
Exactly.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And basically, I talk about that in one of my prior books entitled Rare Anointing. And basically the concept is you take that pain and that suffering that we all go to. We all go through that. Pain is universal. Suffering is universal. But how do you allow that pain and suffering to become the catalyst for your greatness?
Right, right.
And do as Jesus did, as our example. And so I talk about purposeful suffering and how that you can take that, because God is allowing you to have that, because you have to go through things in life. None of us are exempt from that. But sometimes we choose to go through in the wrong way, as they say, the cliche. You're going to get better or you're going to get bitter. Okay, how do you turn that shame into your gain? How do you turn that pain, and what do you do? And basically, it's very simple. It's learning how to take the principles that you see in the Word of God and allow your mindset to be shifted from the place of negativity to the place of the positive, the place of knowing that by faith, no matter what I've gone through, it does not determine what I'm going to, because I'm on my way. I'm on a journey, and I'm on my way to the great place that God has prepared me. And so I'm going to make it through this because there's lights, and I'm known for talking about the lights, which I call hope. As long as there's breath in your body, there's hope. So even in the darkest place, you can look for those little lights along the way and follow that hope that's going to lead you into your future and your destiny.
Well, that's absolutely true, because when we were younger, and for young people now who were raised by older people, they hear this saying all the time, that it's mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you've got to get yourself in a still, quiet place in order to be able to hear not only that small voice of God, but sometimes just your own common sense and reasoning can kick in when you sit down and get quiet, because there's so much chatter in our mind, all the pain of the past, all the anger, the bitterness, the whatever someone else did. And one of my sayings that I like to tell folks is sometimes you got to get through what you got to go through in order to get to what God has for you and only you. And so although we are walking separate journeys, everybody's experienced something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the coming together of people who can help push us along the positive path and get us off that deep, dark road. How has that been effective for you? Because I know, maybe not you, but some of our listeners have pride. And the word says that pride goes before the fall. How do you get pride out of the way and let other people who can help you step in and actually help?
Well, it comes back to the broken place. And that's what I talk about in my first book, As Long As There's Breath in Your Body, There's Hope. It comes to allowing yourself to be broken. As long as you try to hold on, and like you said, to that pride and try not to let anybody know or let anybody in, or you don't want to tell your business and all that kind of stuff that keeps us bound. We have to come to the end of ourselves. I know I had to come to the end of myself and just realize, okay, you know what, Rosalind, you can't do this. You cannot do this. You need help, and it was a place of surrender. So brokenness is a place of surrender, and when you just surrender to the will of God for your life, that's when the pieces can be picked up and you can receive whatever help he happens to bring along your path and receive it with joy. and then begin to walk in another place other than the place that you've been walking in, and then become a light, that hope to others. Because while you're in that dark place, oftentimes you cannot see that. You cannot do that. But if you can look up, and that's why you have to tell your testimony. Because if you hear someone that's saying, you know what, I've been through this, I've been through that. Listen, I've spoken in many venues. I've spoken before the Florida Senate and shared my testimony with the legislatures there and the governor. I've spoken on the street corners. It doesn't matter. But wherever I tell my testimony, even over in Africa, when I've gone to South Africa and West Africa, and everywhere I share my testimony, there's always someone that's going to come up, and they may come up in a quiet way and pull me to the side and say, you know what? I've gone through that. I've gone through that. Or I have someone that's going through that. What can I do? Or you help me to realize that I can make it. Because it is a secret. It's a big secret so many times. Even once we overcome, we don't want to tell anybody about what we've gone through. But then that's holding that light inside and not allowing it to shine.
Part of that as well, too, don't you think, is becoming as transparent as you can be with the pain that you've experienced. And while you're still processing through it, you know, like you said, that light, you know, as you discover and unveil and peel away those pieces and those triggers and those things that have manifested over the years. And, you know, and if you're dealing with, you know, you begin to doubt yourself and your own abilities and things of that nature. And then coming back to a place where you can not only trust yourself, but trust others with you and you with other people.
That's a biggie, and you're absolutely right. And the thing that you said is it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You're talking to someone that's been processed and still going through.
Same here,
And having that transparency as a part of your life, because you have to trust that God has you no matter what. God is the one that's covering you and protecting you. So therefore, whatever you have to share and however transparent you are required to be, then he's going to help you to go through whatever fallout happens, you know, whatever comes, but as a result of what you've had to share.
Precisely. It's vitally important. Because if you don't come to that place, like you said, where you yield, you just yield and say, okay, I can't handle it on my own. I have got to seek. And the only person that you really can hold on to is your faith, if you have one, you know, and for those that don't, you know, I can't imagine it's substantially more difficult.
It's difficult, I would think, because that's where you have the conflict. You have that conflict between what I think in my head and what I see the world saying, but yet you have no buffer with the Holy Spirit in the middle to guide you down the direction that you're supposed to go in. So that conflicted person, even if you're a new babe in Christ and you're not, you know, in a place where you're learning, growing, or listening to somebody on tape or CD, you're going to be conflicted because you're going to still have that empty void of getting saved, filled with a whole bunch of stuff that used to be a part of your life because you never really got away from it. And so it's very important, actually vitally important, that individuals discover, you know, who to allow in their lives and when to let certain people enter. And I know that when we come back from the break, Dr. Rosalind, that's one of the things I'd like for you to answer for us. How do you know who to let in and when? Because seasons are so important in our lives, and I know we're going to be coming up on a break shortly, but definitely one, if you're listening to us, you know, give us a call, 1-800-450-7876, ask Dr. Rosalind a question, but definitely do want to talk about the who and the when, and what about our seasons in life.
We'll be right back.
Absolutely.
We're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're on with Dr. Rosalind Tompkins. And Dr. Tompkins, one of the questions that Jackie had led into before the break was, you know, who to let in and when after you're going or have gone through your transition.
And I believe that is such an excellent question because, and that's one of the things that I talk about in my book, What Is It, that's coming out soon. I talk about how along the way of your journey to your it, to your purpose, to your destiny, that you're going to run into several types of people. And I categorize them as the movers, shakers, givers, and takers. And I talk about how you need all of them. You know, you may not like everyone that you type of personality or type of people that you run into, but it's all for your good. It's all about building your character and helping you to become the best you that you can be, and also helping you to be able to do the thing that you were put here on planet Earth to do. So when you're talking about how do you know who to trust? I guess the main thing is hearing. We have to be able to hear our inner voice, the voice of God. And once we hear and once we begin to move in a certain way or on a certain path, we have to just trust that the people that we meet and the people that we interact with and the people that are part of that part of our journey or our season are supposed to be there. And that's when the hearing also comes in, because you got to determine how long, who they are. Are they a mover, shaker, giver, taker? And based upon what you determine, then that's how you're going to interact with them and how much you'll let them in. Because you know, I know you guys have stories. We all have stories. If you live any age and you go through anything, you have stories of different people that you've trusted, and maybe they haven't been that trustworthy, or things that's happened along the way. But you cannot say, well, in other words, it's risk involved in coming to the place of wholeness. There's risk. So you can't be, because if you're so cautious and worried about what if this person does this, or what if this person, or how can I trust this person, or what have you, then you'll never make the move. And I run across thousands of women who are stuck, who are afraid because of things that's happened in different relationships in the past, whether it's a relationship of a husband and wife, and maybe there was a divorce there, or maybe a relationship between friends where you thought this person was going to be there for you and then they turned on you, or what have you. And oftentimes when you go through hard, difficult situations, especially relationship-wise, where your heart is involved and your heart has been crushed, you have a tendency to pull in, to build a wall around you, and to not allow anyone else in. But when you do that, that becomes a place of stuck, where you're stuck, and it becomes a place where nothing in and nothing out, and you can't grow.
And it's also a place of imbalance, too, because I think often, sometimes when you're hurting, you either do one or two things. You either cocoon yourself, and or those folk who you perhaps let in are hurting more. Mm-hmm. And you wind up in a toxic environment. Yes. Because you haven't dealt with your own issues, or don't recognize them.
Right. Well, I think that's a very interesting point, because, you know, probably trending the last few days have been that fiasco on that reality TV show where we saw a woman actually implode as well as explode.
Yes.
And it comes from, as we stated before, holding things in that need to come out. And sometimes being around like-minded people that are down a path that is toxic is not the same as being around like-minded people on a path to purity of thought and of life and living. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we say, who do we let in and when do we let them in, we have to look at the seasons in our life as well and be able to say, am I in a season to take new people in?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I in a season of needing to sit back and sit down somewhere and just grow myself from the inside out before I present myself? Because oftentimes, like attracts like. And if you're still attracting the same kind of people that you thought you were delivered from, then there's still some deeper rooted thing in you that has yet to be addressed. And it comes down to, do you want to be healed or do you want to be whole?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you strive to make both of those things get into balance for you? Because we can no longer see that type of attitude displayed. We don't want to see it in our daughters. We don't want to see grown women fighting. We've got to figure out what ails us and rip that thing out at the core, because that bitter root obviously runs super deep.
Yeah, or do you want to keep spiraling? Because like you said, Jackie, if you be healed, hold, or continue to spiral, you know, and at what point, or what is the breaking point? What is the, what turns you, what moves you to say, I have to correct course. This is a course correcting opportunity. When do I move now? And not be afraid to move.
That's right. You cannot. You have to continue to move forward, even when you find yourselves in toxic situations and you make mistakes along the way. Sometimes we are so afraid to make mistakes, but mistakes, sometimes that's how we learn. We learn through our failure, and our greatest weakness is when the strength of grace comes, and the strength of grace is what we need in every situation. Mm-hmm. Some of the greatest things I've ever learned has been during the times of great failure.
Yes.
And during that time when I really, really got to know what grace really meant, and how to move forward from a place that you have to be resilient. And the thing about it is, when we look around and we see these type of things that's taking place, we need to understand that this is a reflection of hundreds of thousands of people, that of women in particular, that look just like us.
And not to let it define who you are. If it's an error, as long as you course correct, it's an error. It's a commercial in between the main feature of your life. But don't let it define the rest of your life by itself.
Exactly. Yep, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, definitely we can say that we have gotten some wisdom nuggets from Dr. Roslyn. I mean, it is so important, you know, even as I grow and mature, you know, to have women in my life who are able to see things I cannot see, or have been places I haven't been, but yet I'm trying to go, because they navigated the waters. But some of our younger girls won't take instruction, you know, from older women or from even their peers who've experienced things. How do you address young women, Dr. Roslyn, who don't listen to wise counsel?
Well, that's a very good question. I have a group that's part of Mothers in Crisis and also part of my church, and they call themselves Young Sisters in Success. And these are young adult women who are in their mid-20s and all the way through their early 30s. And it's very interesting the way that I've had to impart wisdom into them, because oftentimes they want to be the ones to come up with whatever they want to do and how they want to do it and things like that. But I often look for those times whenever they are searching, because one thing about it, when you don't know, you don't know. When you haven't been down a certain path, you're not going to just instinctively know which way to go. So there's always going to be points and times when they're vulnerable and when they're stuck, or when they get to a place where there's a challenge. And that's when they're open. And that's when I can step in, whether it's just through a private conversation, or maybe through a prayer, or whatever venue. Let's go and have some coffee or something, and just share with them when they're most open. Because I have a daughter too, who is she just turned 26 years old, and very beautiful. She's a teacher in the Leon County North Florida school system. Always wanted to be a teacher. Always wanted to help with children and everything. But it's so interesting how I have to navigate being able to share with her and help her go through the things that she's going through. Because what we have to understand, ladies, is that they are listening, but it's when they're listening and being able to impart into them during that time.
Critical.
Absolutely. It makes a difference. You know, when they're younger, we call them teachable moments, and now as they're older, they're turning point moments. Because at every stage of their life and development, we have to be able to nurture them down the path that they're going. You know, 10, 15, 16 is one stage of development, 17, 18, 19, 20, then 21 to 25, 26 to 30. You know, and as they're growing, they shouldn't be making the same decisions that they made when they were younger. We should be able to empower them and put some things in their toolkit that helps them along the way. But yet all along, there's this common thread that we're building success in their lives and the ability to sustain whatever life's journey brings onto them, and that they're having that capacity to grow. And so definitely can identify with what you're saying and why that need is there. Parents cannot be hands-off. I can't stress enough that if you're the half the age of your child, you're still not their friend. You know, it's just one of those things that if you're going to be a parent, please parent. Mm-hmm. Or get somebody to help you discover how to parent, because that is extremely important. And we're losing our sons and daughters because of lack of parenting.
That's right. That's right. And they and for some reason, they close off and they're not listening. So we have to search ourselves and say, okay, what is it about me that's preventing them from wanting to receive and drink from this fountain of living water, this reservoir that is so rich and so life-giving that others are drinking from? Why can't they drink from here? What is it? What am I doing? And so that's the thing. That's the thing, because we are, one of you guys mentioned this, and it's so critical, because it always comes back down to that pride thing. You know, we're prideful a lot of times. And, you know, bottom line, we have the answers. We know and you know, here, so you have to come and receive from me, you know. And a lot of times we have to humble ourselves in a certain way and really serve others, and that includes our children, and that includes whoever that are part of our lives, to learn how to serve and then to learn how to receive when someone serves us. And that's another issue, because sometimes we don't know how to receive when someone serves us.
Well, you know, that goes, well, you know, there is a single word, and it's selfishness. And it comes down to selfishness. If I'm not serving myself, and if I'm not being not the one being served, then forget everybody else, because it is all about me. And that is a type of mentality that will continue to destroy the fabric of what we like to build and would like to see as community, that our selflessness actually causes us to be open up to be served and then to receive better. But until we can define and clearly understand the difference between selflessness and selfishness and how that plays a part in our daily encounters with people, we will continue to miss the mark.
That is so true. That is so true. And it's such an ongoing process. And it's a process that it does take time. Of getting alone. It takes time of self-awareness. You should know yourself better than anyone else. So oftentimes people know us better than we know ourselves, and that's why they can push the buttons that they do.
Dr. Tompkins,
whenever you become self-aware, then you can grow and you can begin to understand that, okay, this is an issue that I have.
Dr. Tompkins,
can you hold that thought till after our break? We'll be right back.
Okay.
Conversation with Jackie and Karen. Thank you.
We're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen.
My bad.
Sorry,
Jackie. Okay, not a problem. No, we were just discussing while we were off air that Angelia White is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about what it takes to fulfill your dreams even in the midst of adversity. And so Dr. Rosalind may stay on the line, and she can surely chime in as she likes. But definitely as Angelia comes on, when she's ready, we would like to, you know, talk about, you know, how does all of what we've already talked about stand in the way of dream achievement and not having what it takes to go the distance? Because you've got to get out of your own way in order to make some of the dreams that the people that listen to our show want to accomplish. So that is definitely going to be a part of our conversation in this second block, is getting out of your own way. And why is that so important, Dr. Roslyn, as we're waiting for Angelia to join us?
Angelia is on.
Excellent. Angelia.
Hi, ladies.
How are you?
Hello.
I'm fine.
Well, I know Angelia's been listening because she has already put out 2020.
Exactly.
You don't remember what you said. No, that is perfect for us. Because if you don't remember what you said, just go to @HopeMag on Twitter. You will be able, you know, to retweet what we've talked about. So, Angelia, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I've definitely enjoyed listening. It's been a powerful 30 minutes, so it's really been a blessing. Hi, Roslyn.
Hi. I'm excited to hear you.
Thank you.
Angelia, this time last week, you were running out in the cold weather of Indiana to the newsstands.
Yes, I was.
For Hope Magazine has hit the stand. Tell us a little bit about Hope for Women Magazine and your brand.
Okay. Hope is, you know, a magazine that I created, definitely with, it was inspired by Course of God, 9 years ago. And the purpose of the magazine was to, I felt as though that there was a need for women of faith to have, something that can, relate to them other than, everything being so super spiritual, super deep. We have a lifestyle. So I wanted to be able to publish something on that aspect. That's what I thought. But little did I know that the process of Hope was actually my journey, is what God was getting ready to take me through for the next 9 years. Basically, that's when in December 2005, at the age of 35, that's when I began to live. So, as I mentioned briefly, and I think I touched on a little bit last week about how I was 35 years old, sitting in church, and I was the Sunday school teacher. I go to a small church, so I did everything, you know, worked in the kitchen, you know, taught Sunday school, everything. And I was the choir director. I was on the praise team and everything. And I sit in service, and I looked around. I'm like, wow. And I looked and said, no one's doing anything. No one's, like, moving forward in their life. It was just okay with just, you know, that routine. And then from that moment, I was like, okay, it had been part of me to do the magazine. Well, I didn't know at that time it was the magazine. It was just like a newsletter or some form to empower women. Like 5 years I had sat on it because I was afraid, because I'm like, I didn't go to school for journalism. I went to school for business. You know, I wouldn't even know where to start. But when I lost my grandmother and my father within a 2 month span, that's when my journey began. I just, you know, one day I woke up and I just said, you know, and I was in church and I was like, you know what? You know, God put me here for a purpose and I have to be about my assignment. And this was my assignment.
Wow.
That is a powerful story in itself, because people often get paralyzed when they're going through a crisis. They call it a crisis of belief. And it is at that moment that we begin to do some retrospective thinking and say, what am I doing? How am I living that, you know, we say there's the birth, then there's the dash, and then there's the death. So what am I doing with that dash, you know, in my life? And that's what you speak about, how Hope was birthed in you. What has your journey with Hope been like, from newsletter to magazine? I mean, that's a faith journey, my sister, to go from newsletter to magazine published on the stands. What has that journey been like?
And also, speak to, if you can, how you recognize your assignment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Angelia?
I was, as you ladies were talking earlier, actually thinking in my mind, something similar to how I actually even, you know, begin the journey and the process. I didn't have, you know, no experience, you know, at all. But what I had to, the journey was deeper, because as a child, and this kind of goes back to why it actually really evolved in called Hope, is because as a child from the ages of, we had a history of incest in my family, and it just went through like four or five generations of incest. And it was at my generation with me that it stopped. And, you know, it was from the age from when I was four until I was 8 years old, you know. And, you know, during that time in the 70s, you know, that was, you know, one of the best kept secrets in the world. And in your family, you didn't talk about it. So, you know, my family weren't believers. You know, we didn't go to church or anything at that time. And that was just, it happened, you know. You know, no one talked to me about it, you know, and it just lingered with me for all these years and never dealt with it until, you know, as I got older, you know, when I had, you know, my wake up moment, or what my defining moment in my life is, when I'm like, okay, I have to start dealing with this. And on that journey of hope, I had to learn how to become confident. I had to learn to start loving and believing in myself and all over again. So the part of the journey is identifying who I was, and, you know, and that began early, is because, you know, I know, think God put people in our path. And that's when I had first met Jackie, is when I first started doing Hope, because I was like, naive and new. I was like, I don't know. I didn't even know who Jackie was. You know, I'm just like, oh, she just looked like somebody I need to email. And so I emailed her, and I was like, hey, you know, my name is Angelia White, and I would like for you to write, because I love what she was, you know, her powerful words. And, you know, and then she came back and was like, you know, I need to see, you know, your resume, and I need to see your business plan. I was like, well, dog, I just asked her to write. And I mean, she's asking me for all these things, but I don't even know if you know it, Jackie, but after that, I did exactly what she said. I started building my portfolio. I got a business plan, and I was so, trying to think, I just didn't have a clue what it was like. I was like a brand new person trying to find my way throughout life, and, you know, have just been so suppressed. I'm like, what do I do to move forward? And so it was just a process for me. I didn't know how to be successful. I didn't know how to think success. I didn't know how to do, what is success? You know, what is a magazine? What is an entrepreneur? I didn't know any of those things. I didn't know how to really have that deep relationship with God, because, you know, I grew up real strict, and that God was, you know, the fire brimstone. But I didn't know that He was a God of love, and that I can ask Him whatever I wanted and He would guide me. And so through that process, I'm like, God, I said, now you gave me this, and I know this was my assignment to do. This was only supposed to go to 50 or 100 people, but why am I seeing all these multitude of women in my mind when I'm sleeping? I'm having this reoccurring dream of all these women. And I'm like, how do I get there? So it was the whole process of learning how to get there. You know, it was the learning, you know, as you guys, ladies were talking earlier about having trust and having the right people around you. I learned that being an abuse victim, it was very key and mandatory, you know, for me to associate myself around people who weren't going to be abusive. Yes, I was taken advantage of. I lost a lot of money, had to file bankruptcy, separated from my husband for 2 years, you know, just barely to keep my phone on, cell phone bill, and that was only $50. And so I kept going. You know, a lot of times I get knocked out. I mean, it would just knock the wind out. I mean, I'm just like, but I got to keep going, because I know this is someone else's journey. This is someone else's struggle. And it's not about me, but it's about how I can impart hope into someone else's life that has been abused. They've lived 35 years. They've lived 40 years. Their dream has been on the shelf. And how I can empower and inspire them to write that book, to start that beauty salon. And that's what this whole journey has been about, is how this is my ministry. This is what I've been put here on earth to do, is empower women.
And that's amazing, because as you found hope, you're living it. And so you're not
talking and sharing your story based on what you heard someone else say. This has been your journey. And oftentimes for our listeners, for me, Dr. Rosalind, for Karen, we have seen people get hopeless chasing after a dream because it can be too much. But I want to thank you because you're sharing with our audience what it takes to persevere. You've discovered, as we were talking about before, your selflessness, that as you give of yourself, you're able to bless other people so that they can find their blessing in their journey. Karen, how close are we to break?
We have about 4 minutes.
Okay, so we're good. So as we're having this conversation related to hope in your journey, you've mentioned some things related to taboos that stay in our community. And I think Karen and I probably say this almost every week. Those days have come and are gone. That if there is a cycle of anything that we'd like to be a part of breaking, it is not talking or speaking up. And how important is that? The moment that you had that awakening, Angela, can you we have a 2-minute break coming up, which will be in about 2 minutes. So can you start sharing what that aha moment for you looked like and why it was important? And then on the other side of the break, continue with that.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was just like I was a brand new person. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I knew that I was on the right path. It was like something came over my whole mind of me, just a belief, and to knowing how important I was, I began to realize and identify with myself as how I was created, you know, from the foundation of the world and from the beginning to be able to, and God picked me. It was like, oh, this is exciting. Could no one tell me anything that, you know, would I was sharing with, oh, I got a vision. You know how a lot of times we get excited and start telling everybody. And I was excited is because I knew after all this time, this is what I was here to do. And I mean, I was just so, I didn't know how I was going to get to the next step, but I was glad that at this point I found this new hope that I knew that if I just put my trust and confidence in God, that he was going to walk me through this journey.
Angela, hold that right there, because I want to get back to something that you said as you continue after the break, and knowing how important you were and you
and
are.
And I want Dr. Rosalind, if she's still online, to share with that as well, because I think that these two conversations are going to bless some lives today.
Yeah.
You're listening to Conversation with Jackie and Karen, and we'll be back after the break.
We're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. Ladies, let's continue. And I have to confess, I know there's a meeting after the meeting during the breaks, and I'm not in on it. So.
I heard you say that. You know, we want to make sure that we stay on this vein of conversation, because we want our listeners, when they hear this rebroadcast, we want them to be able to have a full conversation.
Exactly.
You know, we want them to glean everything that's possible, because the points that we've been sharing, you know, are life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And men and women, young and old out there, need to know that you too can be an overcomer. And in that overcoming, there's a life for you on the other side
of it.
That's
right.
What you see right now is not all that is in store for you. So let's talk about that a little bit more.
Angela, Dr. Ross?
I'm here.
Yes. Well, you know, I thank you ladies for just allowing me to hang around, because this has been so powerful. And what I am hearing is something that is so needful, because someone mentioned the examples that we see sometimes on television that show us in a certain light. And it shows us in a certain positioning. But to hear this dear sister's story about the things that she was able to overcome, okay, and so now you're publishing a magazine that's able to help hundreds and thousands of other women who are going through maybe some of the same things. I think the key that I got out of this is that keep it moving. Don't allow your circumstances and the things that's happened to you in the past to define, as one of you have said already, to define your whole life.
I like the causation of the phrase of hope. you know, Dr. Roz, you know, your book, As Long As There Is Breath in Your Body, There Is Hope. And then here you come, Angelia, with Hope Magazine. And if we can't impart anything else, is that there is hope. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what it smells like, or how it seems. God is the final arbiter. And whatever he has, whatever that calling is on your life, only he is going to manifest it, you know. So there's hope. There's always
absolutely
hope.
It makes a big difference, because we talk a lot on this show about balance, and we've had dozens of conversations about how do you balance your pain with your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that pain can fuel the thing that you're supposed to be doing. Oftentimes we don't like to think that what we've been through is a part of God's plan. But then I'm always reminded of Judas and his role he played with Jesus. And if that hadn't happened, none of us would be saved. But that's another sermon for another day. But it likens into everyday life. You know, our everyday life is like that. Sometimes we get caught up in other people's past because they haven't gotten over their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I've never faulted myself for the things that I've been through, because I was young and I got caught up in somebody else's problem. But with that revelation knowledge from God, it helped me understand the value of even myself with my books on balance and purpose. How do I balance my pain with my purpose? And what had God intended it to be? Because a lot of things, you know, people would do wrong to us. But God says, you know what, if you look at it through my eyes, let me show you how to turn this into something else. And both of you ladies speak so well to how to turn your past into a powerful, powerful force for the present. And now it's blessing other people.
Yeah.
Why?
Or
should I say, what would you leave? Yeah, what would you leave or share with our audience about what they may go through and how to see it through God's vision? Either of you can start.
Well,
I
can jump right in. I just want to say three points that really makes a big difference when you're talking about purposeful suffering. Number one, you have to cry out to God. You have to know who to cry out to. And when you realize that it is God that made you and it is God that can fix you, you cry out to the Lord. Number two, you become obedient to what you hear, because he's going to have a conversation with you. And when he begins to talk to you, he's going to talk about your destiny and your purpose, because your purpose is your pain and your pain is your purpose, just as his passion was his pain and his purpose. And then number three, you got to get moving and you got to do what you hear.
Angela?
I agree with Rosalind. And the main goal and the main purpose, as she said, is God. If you know what he has assigned you to do, you have to always believe that he's going to equip you, he's going to qualify you, and he's going to lead you. And that's what that's where I've been, is that you always have to go back to the source. It's never about yourself. It's never about what people's opinions, but you always have to go back to the core and the message of what he's in the command that he's giving you. And it's just, you have to keep moving. You have to just, you know, you have to block everything out. Know that this is what you signed up for, and this is what you said yes to, and that you just have to just dig deep and use those opposition or challenges as your stepping stone and platform is to build you and to mold you and to shape you into the individual and the purpose and the person that he desires you to be.
You know, it's interesting, and Jackie, I was getting ready to text you, but, you know, ladies, you may not know, but we take turns in coordinating our shows each week, and today was Jackie, and she's just all over this, and you can see, particularly coming after Easter, you can just feel not only her yielding to the Lord to pull you two together today, but to help our listeners who may not know the true meaning of the resurrection or serving a resurrected Savior, and to hear, particularly you, Angelia, how you yielded to that, and not only finding your purpose and your importance, but threading it through the how God had ordained this day for you with your magazine, similar to you, Roz, with your books and your ministry and things of that nature. You can just feel and see the threading of the Lord coming together today in imparting this to our listeners, that no matter what, you know, not only is God in the midst, but he is every purpose that we have on our life, every painful experience is for a purpose. It's not the period, it's the comma.
Oh, absolutely, with that comma, because this isn't these next 40 days. And I'm so glad that this show has been orchestrated the way it is, because that's going to be my challenge to anybody that hears this show after it's done or that's listening now is, you know, Jesus was resurrected, and for 40 days before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he walked among us. Mm-hmm. I like to challenge people who are trying to live their dreams to search for him, to see him where you want to meet him and where he said he would meet you these next 40 days and see what happens.
And check in with us.
Oh, absolutely. You got to take God at his word. Mm-hmm. That if he took this time to share with the disciples, if he was sharing with the women who were outside of the tomb, if he appeared to Peter, you know, and if he appeared to them and he wanted them to know that he was still here, then you've got to still believe, you know, hope upon hope that your dreams are yet still to come. But where are you looking? You know, we're often looking to our friends and to our family, and we're, mm-hmm. you know, under some hidden cause or some
psychic
whatever
or
that
something.
We heard about. Exactly. You know, 1-800-1-877-1900, whatever.
Yeah.
You've got to know where your true worth and power comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a faith-based people. We run our show like a faith-based show, and it's just who we are.
Yep.
And so with that in mind, you know, challenge yourself to do something different. You know, these next, what's this, Wednesday, 37 days.
Yeah.
You know, do something different.
Before we close out, Dr. Roslyn, how can our listeners find out more about you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Roslyn Y. Tompkins, at Roslyn YT. And also my website is RoslynYTompkins.com.
And Angela?
That's Rosalind, not Lynn, Rosalindy Tompkins, TompKins.com.
Angela?
Thank you.
You can follow Hope Mag on Twitter at Hope Mag, and you can follow us on our website at www.hopeforwomenmag.com. And you can find us on the newsstands.
Yay!
Absolutely.
Jackie, you want to close?
This has been an absolute wonderful show. Thank you so much for listening to Conversations with Jackie and Karen. These women, Dr. Roslyn and Angela White, have given us words that we can live by. So as we begin to go forth today, as we begin to look out to the future, know that your past does not define you, as Dr. Roslyn said. And as Angela said, you've got to have your awakening moment. And don't let it be a slumber awakening. Wake fully up into the greatness that you have been called and just watch great things happen. So I'm excited that we've had this time today to be able to share with dreams how to keep them alive during adversity and that you too can be an overcomer.
Thank you,
you have
ladies.
Been listening to Conversations with Jackie and Karen, and we'll see you on next week. Thanks, ladies. Have a great day.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
We're on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare.
With a serious spin. Whether it be sports, faith, parenting.
Balance, relationships, education, community. Coaching.
Starting over. How do you reboot yourself?
Ministry. Relevant. Resonant and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in. Ask us questions. Be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1.